Welcome to Spirits, your boozy bi-weekly dive into mythology, legends, and folklore from around the world.
This episode's got so much, folks. We'll give you a crash course into Haitian voodoo and lay out exactly who you want on your side when your love blossoms.
And then when it goes south.
We've also been having so much fun on Twitter. We recently had a happy hour Q&A thanks to Noisy Spirit, Podcake, The Penumbra Podcast, Flash Forward for reaching out to us.
All our podcast brethren, we love podcast Twitter. It is so much fun. And we so genuinely love all of the interactions we've been having with you guys. Special shout out to our Twitter MVPs from the past couple weeks. John Swendinger, sorry, John. JD Buffington, John Cosmos, Jeffrey Garner, Jim McDonald, Jeremy Childs. I guess all men with J names are people who interact with us on
They're
Twitter.
They're into it.
And as always, friends of the show, Roy Graham and Catherine Addington. We love hearing from you guys. This episode, we are drinking rum and coke. Shout out to our high school selves and
whatever we could sneak out of the liquor cabinet.
Terrible taste in liquor. We don't condone it. Sorry, mom and dad. My brothers and sister, don't copy me. Anyway, and it's a bit of a foreshadowing because later on we will discuss rum, one of Haiti's chief historical and best exports.
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.
So sit back, relax, and we're going to take you to the sweet island of Haiti.
Enjoy Spirits Podcast Episode 12, Erzuli.
So when Amanda and I were in sixth grade,
oh no,
we were in a play.
Oh no,
called Once on This Island. Once on This Island is about a island in the Caribbean. Amanda and I both had speaking parts in that. I feel like I should mention that because
I think I had like one line.
No,
in the song.
You were the storyteller in it.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I... What?
Yes, you absolutely were. Because you were like the Greek chorus in the beginning and end of the play.
Oh, three of us, yep. Right? Oh, and we wore robes.
Yep.
It was very exciting. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Taking it back.
So a big aspect of that play is that the parts and characters are influenced by these four gods. Amanda, can you name the gods for me?
Okay, I'm too drunk for this. Papa Gay.
Yep.
Because we all laughed because it was gay. Agwe.
Yes.
Julia's boyfriend, Jake.
Yep.
That's
the first time I met him.
They met, folks, on the sixth grade musical stage.
He was such a pudge.
And now he's a cryptozoology hobbyist.
Yes.
Oh, how things change. There is Erzuli.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine's god, who I forget.
Asaka.
Asaka,
Gromia Garden.
Gromia Garden, yep. Exactly.
A lot of those characters are actually taken from Haitian voodoo.
Oh.
And today we are going to talk about the Erzuli.
Are there more than one?
More than one.
Very exciting.
Yes.
I like this tie into our past.
Yep. We're going to do it. We're
going
to do it up real good. So we're going to break down Haitian voodoo. We're going to go through the supreme god, the spirits,
great,
and then breaking it down to the Erzulis and what they represent.
Let's do it.
All right. So Haitian voodoo is the syncretic mix between Catholicism and a bunch of different African mythologies. So it's a mix between the two. So
oh, right.
It has different aspects of...
Sure.
Because you have the slaves coming in from Africa,
yes,
then they're being introduced to Catholicism once they get to the island. The resulting religion that comes out of it is voodoo.
Awesome.
And Haitian voodoo specifically. Like, there's French voodoo, and there's Louisiana voodoo, and there's a bunch of different ones, but
we are in Haiti now.
This specifically is Haitian voodoo.
Love it.
So practitioners are called voodooist.
Okay.
And when you translate that literally, it means servants of the spirits.
Very interesting.
Because, we're going to talk about this, in voodoo, it is believed that there is this distant and unknowable god who is a supreme creator. He's called Bondi.
Good god?
Yes, because it comes from the French word bon dieu, which is French for good god.
My 6 months of high school French pay off sometimes.
A+, good job. Thank you, Mademoiselle Kafiliakos. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Whatever your name was, who specialized in Catalan.
So the problem, though, with Bondai is that he really isn't involved in human affairs. He's kind of just like, oh, I made you people, then I'm going to just not care about anything. Sure.
So the classic sort of idea that you get around the rise of Darwinism, mm-hmm. which is like, oh, you know, how do we reconcile evolution with our beliefs in a creator? And the answer is, okay, well, maybe the creator like set up the whole world, set up evolution, set up the systems, whatever, and then sort of like step back to watch it happen.
Right.
Chessmaker, right? Is it
clockmaker? Well, so in the 18th century, deism was what came out. And a lot of the founding fathers were deists. And it's basically the idea of the clockmaker god, which clockmaker he puts everything into motion and then takes a step
back.
Let's
it go.
Yeah.
Boom.
So, in order for humans to kind of have a connection to the spiritual world, there are the Loa.
Okay.
And the Loa are these spirits who are subservient to Bondai. Bondai created them specifically to deal with human affairs.
Okay. So sort of like an angel or a djinn or kind of the other things that you talked about.
Yeah. But unlike angels or like saints, the Loa are specifically designed to be served, not prayed to.
Okay, so they're sort of like, they're like a scarce or a limited resource on Earth,
yeah.
right? Like, there's only so many of them, they have great powers, but you have to sort of woo them in. Like,
yes.
you have to serve them, make them feel like, you know, I am someone that you should help.
Yeah, they're very human, so they have these likes and dislikes.
Like
and
the Greek gods, right? Like, they have, you know, biases, and they have jealousies and all kinds
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, and so, like, the Loa all have, like, specifically, like, oh, I like this dance, I like you to say this poem when you're talking to me. I like you to give me these gifts if you're setting up my altar, that kind
Great.
Of thing.
Bring me goldfish and Jameson, people.
Like CJ Craig. They can be summoned. Any of the Loa can be summoned by a priest, a priestess, or a sorcerer who practices in voodoo.
Okay, so you have to know something about how to do this stuff.
Right.
Not everybody could just in their bedroom,
right.
you know, whatever, light a candle.
I mean, like, you can set up an altar and everything like that, but it won't exactly summon the Loa.
Okay, takes some doing.
Right. So when they bring the Loa into a ceremony like that, the Loa takes a thing called riding the horse.
Okay.
Which means they take human possession of someone who's in the practice.
Oh, man.
And that's really, really important because they're able to tell which, because sometimes things get mixed up, so they're able to tell which the Loa that they have summoned is by, like, the way that the person is reacting during the human possession.
Oh, sure. Like, you know, different Loa, I presume, have different specialties and stuff.
Right.
So, like, you want to make sure you summon the right one. And, like, how do you know?
Also, like, certain Loa react better if they're, like, given, like, the clothing that is associated with them.
Oh, so you have someone dress up to, you know, make the most hospitable host possible.
Right, so, like, there's a Loa that we're not really going to talk about, but his name is Papa Samadhi, and he is associated with Papa Ye.
Cool.
Is a death god, and his, like, signature clothing is, like, sunglasses, a top hat, and a cigar.
Amazing.
So if you summon Papa Samadhi, you gotta have those things in order to, like, win his favor.
You cosplay
over
as the Sopranos.
Yeah,
a show
much.
I have never watched, but I'm pretty sure there
no
are
one has a top hat in them.
Oh, okay.
And they have the other two things, but not a top hat.
Okay, fine.
So now that we kind of have that background,
yes,
we're going to talk about the Urzulis.
And they are kind of Loa.
The Urzuli are a family of Loa.
Okay.
Literal
family or like a sub-genre?
Well, sub-genre.
Okay.
They're not just one Urzuli. There's multiple Urzulis. And they're mostly related to the topics of love and family.
Urzuli, who will my love be?
Yes.
Check the show notes, people.
So actually, we're going to start with the Urzuli that we know
from
Once on this Island is inspired by.
All right.
And that is Urzuli Freda Dahomey.
Cool.
She is a spirit of a lot of things here. Love, beauty, jewelry, dancing, luxury, and flowers.
Man, that shit all goes together. I like it.
She's like the epitome of Valentine's Day.
Exactly. That's perfect. Or prom.
Yes. She is the prom Loa.
She is the prom Loa.
So she actually wears three different wedding rings.
Because
she has three husbands.
Great.
She's married to Dambala, who is a snake-shaped god and the sky father.
Sounds like a good lay.
Agwe, who is the ocean god.
Convenient.
A.K.A. my boyfriend.
Yep. Hunky, has his own thing going on.
And Ogun, who is the Loa of warriors and craftsmen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She has, like, three different kinds of men, depending on what she's feeling like that night.
He's like, I want fish tonight. We're going to hit up Agwe. I want, like, a new bowl. We're going to hit up Ogun.
Yeah.
I want the sky to look nice tomorrow. We're going to hit up, what's his face? Dambala.
The other one?
The other one. I don't even remember his name. I have three, so many husbands.
Three is too many to keep track of. Like, that big love guy. I don't know how he does it, man. I can't keep track of one partner.
There's so many.
Much less three different houses and multiple children, and like, how do you share nights between three people when there's only 7 days in a week, Julia? How do you do it?
You have to be so rich for that shit. I guess you divide it by the month instead of the week, and then you do like 10 days out of the month.
I think what they did is they did what's the math here? Two nights per person each, and then the third night was like a swing night, and like it changed depending on the week.
I was gonna be like, oh, if it's like dealer's choice, then you know who the favorite is.
Exactly. It's terrible. Aaron Paul is dating your oldest daughter. Like,
oh no,
it's so complicated.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, he dates Amanda Seyfried. Amanda Seyfried is the oldest daughter.
What? Oh my god, usually this is the other way around, where like I know something that you don't, but I feel
so in the know.
What?
Amanda Seyfried is the oldest daughter in Big Love. She's like inappropriately hot.
Is Big Love a fiction or not?
Yes.
It's a
TV show.
I thought we were talking about like the TLC one where it's like the actual.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. No.
I thought like Amanda Seyfried was actually like the child of a polygamous marriage. I was like, okay, well, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
That's explains your shock. Anyway, we're getting way off topic, but
I'm sorry.
In the show Big Love, Aaron Paul in his TV debut is like a, you know, outside of Mormon, non-believing boyfriend to Amanda Seyfried. And the dad gets, like, inappropriately, like, possessive over his daughter.
That sounds right.
In a creepy way.
Okay.
Super creepy, not cool at all. Anyway.
Okay. Sorry. Getting back to the Urzulis and their crazy polygamist lives.
Right. Urzuli, three wedding rings, three husbands. Love it.
So her symbols are the heart, and her colors, because colors are really important for some reason for the Urzulis.
Plural.
Her symbol is the heart, and the colors, which are like really important in voodoo, are pink, blue, white, and gold.
Good combo.
If she is getting sacrificed to anything, it's going to be jewelry, perfume, sweet cakes, and liqueurs.
So you set it up as an altar, you know, and then sort of like lay it out for her, like, hey, come hang with us.
Or if you're doing a ceremony and you want her to come, these are the things that you would bring for her. Yeah.
Awesome.
So she represents femininity and compassion. Whenever she whenever she rides the horse, so to speak.
Right. Coming into a human body.
She's very flirty and loves like beauty and finery. And she'll also, it's really interesting because she's one of the few Urzulis that will take the form of either a man or a woman.
Oh, cool.
And she will like flirt indiscriminately and
love
like
it.
Try and seduce anyone. It like does not matter to her. She's just like, oh, I'm a dude and I'm flirting out with another dude, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Fire Zuli, bring it.
She does have like a little bit of a dark side too. She's also,
I was just going to ask, like, most of the time we see, you know, passionate love sort of as a foil with jealousy and destruction, you know, and possession.
Well, you got it just right. She's extremely jealous sometimes.
Yes.
But she's also depicted as spoiled and lazy.
Okay.
Like the other gods are,
we
like,
see that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. The other Loa are kind of distracted. They think she's like easily distracted, and she's like, you should be doing your job, but you're too busy like fawning over the fact that you have like beautiful rings and
right,
shit like
interested
that.
In finery and sort of like small earthly, you know, pursuits.
Yeah. So she is usually shown as never being able to attain her heart's desire, which I find really interesting for a love goddess.
Yeah.
So when she does possession, whenever the possession ends, her horses always cry at the end of it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like they're really
That's
disappointed.
No good.
And so they cry at the end of the possession.
But makes a lot of sense because, you know, think about any kind of pop culture or books or whatever. Like, you know, the pursuit of romance is not interesting if you're super fulfilled at the end of
it.
Yes, you know?
I guess
like,
so.
Yeah.
But you would think that like a spirit and like something that isn't human, that's something above human, would be able to like get what they want. You know
what
I mean?
On the other hand, like, why would they be interested in us, you know, unless they had desires to be fulfilled?
I get that.
And whether that's, you know, desires like, hey, I want some liqueur. Oh, hey, look at these humans. They have the one that I like. Yeah. Thanks, humans. You know, or this more kind of like existential or soulful urge for a mate.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, I think that's pretty human, and I love seeing human ideas in gods and spirits.
Yeah, right. And whether it's a legit characterization of what these gods actually are, or if you think about it more sort of like anthropologically or historically or culturally, whatever, you know, what about us? What about our lives compels us to make narratives out of it? You know, like, what about our lives do we think is so essential to living that we project it onto our gods?
Exactly. So going in a completely different direction is Erzuli Dantor.
Okay, different kind of Erzuli.
So Erzuli Dantor is usually shown as being the opposite of Erzuli Freda.
Okay.
She is scarred and large-breasted. Ooh. And usually shown with, like, extremely dark skin, where Erzuli Freda is usually shown a little bit more light skin.
Yo, colorism. Yeah. And extends back. Yeah, not way so back. Great.
So
this is more of a matron god, and the other one was more of a, like, maiden god.
Yeah, it's actually interesting what Erzuli Dantor represents. So she's usually shown holding a child, and she's associated with the Mother Mary and, like, holding the baby Jesus.
Okay.
In that kind of synchronization.
Huh.
She is the protector spirit of women and children.
Okay.
And she's also the patron Loa of lesbian women. That's like a thing.
So exciting.
Isn't that so cool?
And in a world where lesbian women are often stereotyped as being masculine and barren and, you know, anti-feminine, I love that this, like, mother goddess is equated with lesbians.
Yeah, she's fantastic. So her colors are red, gold, and navy blue.
Gryffindor, great.
And
in fact, Gryffindor, my house.
Yes.
A fusion between Gryffindor and Ravenclaw.
Her symbol is also a heart, but her heart is pierced with either knives or swords.
Bitches!
So good.
Love it!
So, so good. So she is also associated with vengeance.
This is dope.
She will, there are stories where she will take possession of a woman who is abused by, like, a family member or, like, a loved one.
Yeah.
And she will enact vengeance against that person.
This is awesome.
It's so good.
I am so here for
this. It's so fantastic.
I love this image of, like, a wonderful feminine woman, like, you know, bulky with heft behind her, like a baby on her back and a sword in her hand.
Yes.
And like her wife standing in the background being like, have fun, honey, going to exact vengeance on men.
Fantastic.
Great.
And where Erzuli Freda is all like, her sacrifices are all like dainty things and stuff like that. Erzuli Dantor's sacrifices tend to be black pigs.
Great.
Spiced pork.
Awesome.
And rum.
Oh, not fucking around.
She does not fuck around. She's one of my favorites. I'm not gonna lie.
She is like, she's not here for your bland food stuff.
No, she's just like, fuck it. Kill me that pig. Let me swig some rum.
Fuck the pink pigs. Bring me only your black pigs. Bring me only your spiced pork. Bring me only your spiced rum.
She's
great.
She's amazing.
Can we be friends?
Yeah, I want to be friends with her. Don't you want to be friends with her?
That's
I would sign up for that possession in a freaking heartbeat.
I want her to like teach me Taekwondo and then like make rye bread with me in my kitchen.
I love it. It's so good. Going to two of the more like lesser known Erzulis now. Those are the two big ones.
All right. Give me a moment to just mourn the loss of Erzuli
Dantor.
Dantor. Thank you.
So good.
Thank you for being here for all of us.
So now we're going to talk about Erzuli Balain. She is known as the gagged Erzuli.
Gagged as in can't speak.
Yes.
Okay.
So she has helped...
Amanda, what other use of gagged is there? I don't know.
I don't
Let's continue.
The sexy one? I don't know.
also can't speak in that situation anyway.
So she is known to help silence or heal the heart. So she's like she's the Erzuli you go to if you like just suffered a massive heartbreak, but you don't want to like destroy them with Erzuli Dantor.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
like no one thinks about that.
Exactly. Because I mean, that's the advice that you should follow, right? Is like after a major heartbreak, what do? You disconnect, you take some time for yourself, you mourn about and sort of think about the relationship until you're ready to move on. And that should be a period of, you know, silence and contemplation and kind of like getting to know yourself. I freaking love this.
She's the spirit that you tell the secrets of the heart to, and she's also the one that ensures those secrets won't be revealed. How cool is that?
That's so cool.
She's like your bestie in high school.
She's the diary that no one will ever find.
Exactly.
Yes. She's the world's you, Julie.
Aw, that's really nice, Amanda. Aww. That's really cute.
You got it.
So she helps people forget about past loves and helps them overcome overwhelming emotion. So
this
like
is great. We all need one.
So it doesn't just have to be like love related. It's if something is like really causing you pain and like causing you suffering.
Get it off your chest.
She's the one you talk to about it.
Awesome.
So when she rides the horse or takes over a body, the horse that she rides usually speaks as though they have a gag in their mouth.
So which like is really muffled. Cool.
Like muffled.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Unable to speak, unable to get the words out.
I love this because so often in sort of New England and American culture that we grew up in, you're meant to like stoically bear your burdens, right? Not talk about them, you know, shoulder it and move on, keep calm, carry on, whatever. But the idea that like your emotional pain causes you physical handicap, I love that. Like,
it's
I love
so beautiful,
that we
right?
give, I love that we give our emotional pain actual physical substance and heft.
It's gorgeous. I love these myths.
These are great,
love it.
Julia.
It's so good, right?
It's almost like we should have a podcast to share these with the world.
It's weird, right? Why don't we have that?
Weird.
Finally, the last Urzuli is Urzuli Mapagna.
Cool.
She is known as the Suckler.
Okay.
She's the Loa that you are going to pray to help with pain of childbirth and help protect your unborn and newborn babies.
Awesome. From the Aswang.
Throwback.
Episode 3, get in touch.
So her colors are red and gold.
All right.
She's usually portrayed as wearing crowns and velvet robes.
Bitchin', like, because having like a child makes you a literal queen.
A literal queen, like a goddamn queen.
That's great.
So when she rides the horse, so to speak, they tend to get into the fetal or birthing position.
Okay.
Therefore representing either the mother giving birth or the child that
coming
is being protected.
World.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is the Urzulis. They are amazing.
I never want this episode to end.
Cover all of the topics of love and family that you could possibly want.
Seriously. Like, it's all the phases of love, they're all okay. Yes. You have resources at all points. You have badass Urzuli to pray to and summon no matter what phase of life and love that you are in.
I'm just imagining all of the, like, really angry teenagers probably pray to Urzuli Danter when they should be hitting up Urzuli Balien. But
yeah. But they're there to grow with you throughout your life, right? Like, as a as a teenager, you want vengeance. As a, you know, person in adolescence, you might not know that you honestly need to, like, learn to live with yourself and to be alone and to, like, be happy on your own, whatever. And, you know, eventually when you grow into a mother, whether or not you like men, whether or not you have children, like, there are people, Urzuli, here to help you.
Yeah. The Urzuli are just there for you no matter what.
They're the sisterhood, yo.
It's the best.
Amazing.
It's so good, right?
Haiti, home of everything everybody loves.
Spiced pork, rum, and the Urzulis.
I love it.
So good. Should we have a, like, final countdown kind of thing? Or
to what?
I don't know. Like an out.
Outro?
Yeah. I mean, this is probably where the music would just play.
I know. I feel like we need better. I always feel like we need a better end line, though. Eric ends up finding really good ones. Spirits was created by Julia Schaffini and me, Amanda McLaughlin. It's edited by Eric Schneider with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Subscribe to Spirits and your preferred podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr at Spirits Podcast.
On our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, you can sign up for exclusive content like behind-the-scenes photos, audio extras, director's commentary, blooper reels, and beautiful recipe cards with custom drink and snack pairings.
If you like the show, please share with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.